But Sting makes me feel good.
Nice.
Just So Jables.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Just So Jables Film Podcast with me, Jables.
And me, our kid.
And me, producer Ben.
Here on the Just So Jables Film Podcast, I think you probably know by now that we go and watch a film, give you our instant hot takes, straight fresh out of the cinema. This week, our kid, what are we going to be watching?
Ghostbusters, Frozen Empire.
But before we get onto that, you're going to tell us how right or wrong, compared to everyone else in the world, we got last week's film, which was Spaceman on Netflix.
Spaceman, yeah. So, Rotten Tomatoes, 51% critic score, 55% audience score.
Okay.
So, fairly middling for both.
And literally,
really.
Everyone's sitting on the fence.
Well, Tim Robey of The Telegraph is definitely sitting on the fence with 3 out of 5, somewhere between noble failure and endearing oddity. Yeah. Wendy Ide of The Guardian did not like it. She gave it 1 out of 5 and said it was let down by its drab execution. I wonder if me and Wendy might have been watching different films.
Yeah.
Alyssa Wilkinson of The New York Times said it was an awful movie on a par with Madame Web and Argyle.
That's a stupid thing to say. Yeah,
I think she just went in not wanting to like it. Yeah. That's what it sounds like to me. And Amon Warman of Empire gave it 4 out of 5 and gave particular praise to Adam Sandler's restrained performance and Max Richter's score.
Yeah. I think it's the kind of film that you're going to get a lot out of it, what you put in. You know, we all enjoyed it last week. I think it feels like it's also going to be one of those ones where it's going to very much be dependent on your mood when you start watching a film. And
absolutely.
I know films are often like that.
Yeah.
And a lot of it's anticipation. But we were chilled out on a Monday evening. No real pressures. Looking for something interesting to watch on Netflix. That's what we did. And that's how we found it. Plus, you know, I specifically like those kind of sci-fi films. So, it ticked a lot of those boxes. Yeah, so what about you?
Yeah, same. I'd definitely watch it again. I've reflected on it a few times since. And yeah, overall feel very positive towards it.
Benjamina?
Yeah, same. I mean, it's not going to blow you away, but I think we sometimes refer to things entering the canon. It's not that kind of grade, is it? But I think it's going to get a couple of rewatches over the next couple of 3 years.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I'll be honest, yeah. I haven't really thought about it since, I must admit. It's not been what a lingerer for me, because I think, you know, in a lot of ways, that there's better versions of that film that I've seen. Even though we said it's quite original in certain places, it definitely draws things off of other films. And I kind of sit there thinking, I'd still put other films in the same sci-fi, weirdy, psychological thing above it. But it's got its place, and it was a perfectly decent place, and I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I think Hanoush has entered the imaginary friend canon in the same way as Chauncey Bear.
Okay, yeah. But he was real.
The Chauncey.
Well, yeah, he was real.
Or was he real?
Yeah, exactly. I was doing air quotes. You can't really see.
No.
There we go then.
Mm. Nice. Well, while we're all rambling then, Ben, why don't you tell us what you're on about this week?
I'm on about, wait for it, well, thank you, Retro Reels. So this Saturday, the 30th of March 2024 at 7:30 p.m. at the King's Lynn Norfolk Corn Exchange, Aliens. Not just any Aliens, the 1991 special edition, which is, I guess, akin to a director's cut. There are still a few seats available, so get your skates on. Looking forward to it?
Very much so. Yep. Really looking forward to it.
Yeah, definitely.
Have you seen the director's cut?
Yeah.
I'll still call it director's cut.
I actually don't know if I've seen it.
I think we have seen it together.
But I know a couple of people are going who I know haven't seen that. So it'll be interesting to see if they pick up on any of the differences. Or I think a lot of them, they won't realise that they didn't see him before. I think in your mind, because there's a lot of bits with Newt at the start, isn't there? And there's bits with Ripley on the before anything kicks off again. I think people aren't going to realise that they're bits that they haven't seen, if you know what I mean, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Because I think they fit in quite seamlessly into it, to be honest. So, yeah.
Because that's not always James Cameron's strong suit, is it? If you watch the Terminator 2 director's cut, it's f***ing awful.
I've not seen it.
It's bad.
But is it because bits aren't finished in it, though?
It's just bits in it that just drag out pointless stuff, like the Terminator realising that the dog's not called Wolfie, he's called Max. And there's a bit with Kyle Reese at the beginning, which normally I'd be quite in favour of, but it's just really cheesy and unnecessary. And then the bit when they're heading down to the desert and they stop off at a service station and there's two kids fighting. Do you remember there's that kind of scene where they're by the car? That just goes on. That's about 20 minutes long. It just goes on and on and it's all just
a bit... we're not going to make it, are we?
Yeah.
Kind of
that and just Sarah Connor being a bit angsty.
Okay. Mm. There we go then. Jables, what are you on about?
I haven't watched much new this week, but what I am on about is on Friday night at the Abbeygate Cinema in Bury St. Edmunds, we watched Gladiator, the original Gladiator. Indeed, 2000 Gladiator, which they were showing. It was really good.
Yeah.
It was. I know it's kind of stating the obvious. I think that film has aged really well.
Oh, good.
I wasn't so sure going in because there is a lot of surprising amount of special effects in it. Yeah. And they certainly look like special effects now, if that makes sense, mm-hmm. where it was very seamless before when you were watching it and being wowed in the past. But I never saw it in the cinema originally. I only ever saw it on DVD, or video it might have been, actually.
Yeah, it would have been.
It scales up really well, and it makes it look better on the big screen. I thought it was going to be slightly ropey, but it's not. It's well hidden in the design and the lighting. You get that sort of... It's not sepia, but you get a shine off things that kind of hides it and makes it seem fake, but then you're kind of thinking, well, it's old times.
They've used it artfully.
Yeah, they have, and I think it makes it work. Story stands up really well. I mean, it's that kind of thing. I think Russell Crowe's really good in it.
Yeah,
you really hate Joaquin Phoenix in it, don't you? There's a lot to like about that film. I forgot how long the start is, if that makes sense.
Yeah, the battle scenes and everything.
Yeah.
Not just the battle scenes, the build-up to him being...
exiled.
Yeah, well, they tried to assassinate him. They tried to kill him, take him away and kill him. But yeah, that's actually quite long. There's actually a lot going on there. And everyone's really good in it. I remember when it finished, just thinking, if there was a film that didn't need a sequel, it was that.
This was it.
Because it's so well contained. The whole, it's not expositional, but it explains everything. You have got a start, an end, and it all works. And you don't have this, oh, I wonder what's going to happen next, because you see everything that you want to see in that film. What's the next one going to be about? And I, you know, there isn't much information about it, but if you just look on IMDb, just like, it's only, there's not much information at all. It's like two lines, and it's like, it's basically Lucius when he's grown up. So it's the son when he's older. You know, so I was a little, and I think it's Paul Mescal, isn't it? So, you know, it feels like it would be in safe hands. There's part of me that wished, don't call it Gladiator. Don't call it Gladiator.
Right, I know.
I thought about it straight away. So I call it the Praetorian or something like something else, another kind of character from it. Because it almost doesn't make sense if he is a gladiator. It's weird. I'd like if they do a good story, like this is a good story. Don't shoehorn gladiators into it. So yeah, that's what I'm on about. Yeah, it was really good.
I can tell you a little fact about Gladiator. I might have told you before.
Probably.
But it was the first film Ben and I saw together at the pictures.
Yeah, you have told us that. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Romantic.
I know. So, our kid, what are you going on about?
Well, I'm very briefly on about a trailer that dropped last week for Beetlejuice 2, which I don't know if you've seen.
I have watched the trailer, yeah.
Ben, have you watched the trailer?
No.
Yeah, it was a bit of a teaser, wasn't it? It wasn't very long, just a few flashes of things, but it looks really fun. The film comes out September, and it stars Winona Ryder still as Lydia, Michael Keaton, obviously, as Beetlejuice. Jenna Ortega, I think she's Lydia's daughter. I'm not quite sure. Yeah, very brief, but atmospheric. I think it looks cool.
Yeah, it does look kind of cool. It's had the right kind of tone to it, and I'm more up for it than I thought I was going to
be. Yeah, me too.
Yeah.
Definitely, because when they were going to make the film, the second film, a couple of decades ago, it was going to be very different, wasn't it? I think it was going to be set in the Caribbean or something a bit wacky. I thought that would have been quite fun. I quite like that. But they've obviously gone for the nostalgia thing now, haven't they? But yeah, I think it'll be
legacy
fun.
Legacy sequels, as they call them.
Yeah.
When's that due out? Soon-ish?
September.
Okay. Yeah, you did to say.
I'm sure we'll be there. I'm sure we'll probably try and watch the first film.
Did you have a little micro sleep then when we were talking about it?
A little nap there.
I often tune out when you guys are talking. Not going to lie.
Understandable. Well, you better tune in now, Ben, because before we get onto this week's film, you're going to tell us how people get in touch on the socials.
You can find us on the street. No, you could, at Just So Jables, Facebook if you like, Instagram if you really like, X if you have to. You can email us, hello@justsojables.com. You can find us on Spotify, listen to us, and all the other similar platforms for podcasts. Give us a rating, please, 5 stars, whatever's the top one.
Nice.
Basically, what I like to do is like leave one channel out every time I do this.
Okay. Yeah.
So I've left a channel out.
Good job for leaving it out there, Ben.
Have we had any people commenting, contacting, emailing?
We have, actually.
Oh.
We've just had people asking about retro reels. That seems to be the thing that people are most interested in.
What, in a general sense?
Yeah. A few people saying what's happening, what's going on for the rest of the year. So. Yeah.
Are we going to have to start doing a schedule and stuff on that?
I think we might.
I think we should, shouldn't we?
Yeah, maybe we should.
The King's Lynn Film Festival have been in touch to say, can we potentially collaborate on something? So,
collab.
Yeah.
Yeah, like it. Mm. Good, good.
Yeah. I also heard a rumour that there's some pretenders in town who might be trying to steal our crown. I was in the retro shop the other day and they said a guy had come in talking about putting old retro films on, and they were like, oh, well, if you're going to do that, you need to talk to the Retro Reels guys or you're going to get in trouble. It might be unrelated. It might be something else.
Okay.
It might be film festival related, something like that. But
okay.
Might have to get violent at some point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, nice update, our kid.
Thank you.
So this week, while you're talking, you might as well tell us about the film we're going to watch, which is...
Ghostbusters Frozen Colon.
It's not.
Ghostbusters Frozen Empire.
So I'm going to read you what it says on IMDb so that I don't have to cobble something together that sounds the same anyway.
Okay.
When the discovery of an ancient artifact unleashes an evil force, Ghostbusters new and old must join forces to protect their home and save the world from a second ice age. So obviously we've got the original Ghostbusters, we know from the trailer.
Yeah.
Bill Murray, Dan Aykroyd, Ernie Hudson, sadly no Harold Ramis. And we've got the new
Ghostbusters.
The new Ghostbusters.
No, the new Ghostbusters.
The new Ghostbusters.
Are they the real Ghostbusters?
No, they're not the real Ghostbusters. They're the Ghostbusters. So it's Phoebe.
Podcast.
Paul Rudd, I can't remember his name in it.
The guy with the floppy hair from Stranger Things.
Trevor.
So they're all coming together in New York.
New York, certainly.
Certainly.
I'm walking here.
Yeah. So I'm not actually going to be able to say too much. Well, there's a lot we can say about it. I think we'll probably have a lot to talk about after, because I have very deliberately avoided anything about this. I've watched the second trailer once and I thought, right, that's it. I don't want to know anymore. And luckily, I have managed to avoid everything. Now, I'm not sure if that's good or bad, because what I would say is, like Dune and other things, it's very hard to avoid anything when it comes to certain films. And this, there hasn't been that much being pushed into my eyeballs on news feeds.
Which is its own message, really.
Yeah,
isn't
which
it?
Kind of worries me. But I'm also thinking, no, I'm not going to think like that, because it's a Ghostbuster film. I like Ghostbusters. I like the last one. All I know about this is I think they were kind of going for that real Ghostbusters series sort of feel. And what I'm looking forward to this is it's a standalone story. It's a new story. You know, we've had Zool, we've had Vigor, and then we went back to Zool in the last film. Mm. And judging by the art style and the look of this film with the monsters, it did have that sort of real Ghostbusters semi-cartoony, but not dodgy like the 2016 kind of effects.
I hope, yeah.
And it had that style, and like I said, it's a standalone news story in New York. So yeah, I'm going in open and hopeful, I think is how I'm going to be. What about you, Arkid?
I'm not super excited about it. I keep flipping and flopping a little bit. One minute I think, yeah, I love Ghostbusters, what's not to like? And the next thing I think, do we really need another Ghostbusters film? I'd be perfectly happy just to sit and watch the first two and for that to be it.
Yeah.
For occasional viewings of Afterlife, I suppose. But I like all the Ghostbusters. I think I like all the newer ones as well, actually. So there's nothing I can put my finger on that I'm like, I don't like this about it, other than what we've said before, is that it just looks a bit big in scale. The Afterlife was quite contained to a small town, wasn't it? This looks like it's going to be possibly a global threat, which I'm a bit like, ugh, for. But we'll see. Ben?
I'm going in open-minded. I'm mostly going to see this film to see what new jokes Phoebe's got. And that's my main thing.
Yeah, I know you're a big fan of the jokes.
Yeah. Mm.
He told them yesterday.
Did he?
Actually, yeah.
Tell us one now, Ben.
Oh, no. It's too much pressure.
Think of one for the end.
Yeah.
You have a drink called Steve.
Something about Wales, something. Go home, you're drunk.
Yeah.
I don't have Phoebe's comedy timing or deadpan delivery. But like you, Jables, I've avoided it. It's not that I avoid stuff. I just don't look at the same channels as you guys about film stuff during the week. So I haven't really seen much about this. I've obviously seen the trailer because it's been in the pictures when we've been seeing stuff. I like Afterlife. When Afterlife first came out, I assumed I was going to hate it and I was going to wish it never existed. But since I've watched it quite a few times, and I think I've said before, each time I've watched it, I've warmed to it slightly more.
Yeah, I think
it's
quite,
it's not an amazing film. I just think it's a good film and it's quite good fun.
Yeah.
So yeah, hopefully they've reused that formula and they won't disappoint us and it'll be I'd say fine. I hope it's good.
Yeah, I hope it's good. I'm hoping it's going to be good. I think if I have any concerns, it would be partially around the older Ghostbusters, because they were really, they were almost there for sound bites last time. And they were good, and it worked in the context of
the film.
They
were what they needed
to
be. They
pop up at the end.
Yeah.
And like Ray was good in it because he's on the end of the phone. He's very much that kind of character. I almost, it sounds bad, I want a bit of a full stop in them now. Either have them in more or have them in less. You know, if they're cameos, they're cameos. If they're not, then put them in the film. Make them part of the film. But in the same way, I'm just looking forward to I'm hopeful for a good film. Well.
Right then.
Let's order some pizzas and then go to the cinema after.
Yeah, sounds good.
And we're back from the Majestic. We've just watched Ghostbusters Frozen Empire. Who's going to give us a film synopsis, Benjamin?
I can do that for you guys.
Thank you. Can you do it for the medium of dance?
No.
Okay.
I haven't danced since the first Ghostbusters film was on.
Okay.
Maybe the second. But that was an accident. Right, Ghostbusters, Frozen Empire. We're back in the New York firehouse, where the Spengler family / extended family, plus a few old characters, are busting ghosts as a unit. Sliding around the city, shooting off their proton packs at anything that looks spectral. One day, a guy comes into Ray's special shop where he's doing his video podcasts and bits and pieces, and he's trying to sell a few bits and pieces of his old grandma's that he found in the back room. And one of them's a little orb, little sphere, that accidentally unleashes an evil force what wants to freeze everything, and all hell breaks loose.
Yeah, kind of pretty much.
Good.
Yeah.
You can tell it's your own work.
Yeah.
He's a trier.
Actually, that was the Guardian's official review.
Yeah. So shall I kick things off?
Do.
I think you should.
I usually do, don't I? Let's talk Ghostbusters. I'm a little bit in two minds about the film. We're not going to give any spoilers away. We never do. We always try to avoid it.
I was going to say, we sometimes do, but it's
sometimes
not deliberate.
We sometimes do it. It's not deliberate. There's a lot that's in the trailer that is in this film. I think the trailer, once again, as I've said countless times, showed too much, especially when a big part of the trailer, basically the main start of the trailer, is 3/4 of the way in the film.
And it is that whole 3 minutes of the trailer is pretty much a run of 3 minutes in the film, isn't it? It's not intercut.
No, so you're like, you're kind of seen as bad as it gets, if that makes sense. Like, you see what the big bad is, so there's no surprise when it gets to that. But along the way, I think I've got a lot to say. I think, like I said, I'm in two minds. It was fine. It wasn't terrible. I wonder if I'm going to convince myself otherwise while I'm talking about it. There were a lot of things that I liked about it. I liked the returning new characters. I liked seeing the old characters again as well. But I don't think they all worked because there was too many characters.
There were a lot of characters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, and it's kind of obvious it's going to be. You look at the poster for the film. There's 10 characters on that, not including any of the original Ghostbusters that you know are going to be in it, plus people that aren't original Ghostbusters, aren't part of the new lot, but are either returning from original films or newly introduced characters for this film. So there's a bunch of people in this. Mm. It was too much for it. It was trying to do everything and it didn't necessarily do any of it that well. Let's go around the table first of all, and we can like pick bits up as we go. What about you, Arkin?
Yeah, I have to be honest. For the first 10 minutes, I was sitting there thinking, "This is bad."
No, can I caveat that? Did you not like the very first opening part with the flashback?
Oh, the flashback was okay.
I quite like that.
Yeah, there's a bit with the fire station at the beginning, and okay, that was fine. You're right. Yeah, but then the 10 minutes after that, when we're bringing back the new team, I just thought, this is bad. This is not good.
Yeah.
This feels like fan fiction, and I don't think this is going to be very good.
That scene felt like it was written by ChatGPT from the previous film, because it didn't do anything new that you didn't see in the previous film. It was almost like reintroducing all the bits from that.
Yeah.
So sorry, go on.
No, it just felt like a poor way to reintroduce those characters.
It did.
Somewhere else. But just as a broad overview, it did pick up in the middle. Mm-hmm. There were new characters that I quite liked. I think it was a bit of a, it peaked and then it dipped again for me. So there was a high point in the middle, but I do use the expression high point quite loosely, because there was no point where I thought, wow, it was just like, oh, well, this is a bit better than that was.
Yeah.
And that's the best I can say, really. So it just felt a bit a bit light.
Yeah.
I think I was expecting more. Ben?
Okay, I've got a two-word review for you. Mostly pointless.
Mm.
I did not like this film.
Didn't you?
No. I think it's kind of spoiled Afterlife for me now.
So Iron Man 2'd it?
Yeah. Maybe not as bad as Iron Man 2, but I'll explain myself a little bit. I think Afterlife was quite a risky film to make after that 2016 film that seems to have been kind of kicked out of the franchise anyway, for such a beloved franchise. And I kind of went into Afterlife thinking I was going to hate it, and I didn't. And as I've said before we went into this, I've sort of warmed to it even more. And I think it has charm, and it has originality, and the characters are developed properly. And this film, they've just trashed it all. Like, it was shallow. The characters just seemed weird to me this time around. The interesting and charming aspects of each of the characters from Afterlife, they just kind of touched on occasionally, like, oh, do you remember this character does this? Do you remember this character does that? And they never got going with it. Like you said, Jables, too many people in this.
Yeah.
So it's impossible to follow an individual story. There's an attempt with it, like Phoebe has an encounter with a ghost and then that keeps recurring. That's probably the only thing that they kind of latched onto. And even then, that seemed a bit tacked on. So the shallowness, and then just woven through cheesy zaniness. And I was like, nah, I don't like it. I just don't like this film. It wasn't funny enough to be funny. There was a few gags in it, but I was like, oh, right. They felt tacked on.
Yeah.
And it wasn't serious enough to be interesting. The big bad was just like, oh, right. So there's a lanky dude who freezes stuff. I'm like, give me Viggo from Ghostbusters 2. Yeah. It's much more interesting. Yeah. But yeah, I won't go on about it because I'm going to bring the mood down. But I won't even say it's fine. I was just like, this film just doesn't need
you
to be made.
Just a fan.
Yeah, just not a fan. I don't need to see that film again, I'm afraid. So it's a shame because it's got some of the beloved old characters in and all that stuff, but it just feels a bit like it's run out of gas.
So yeah, it relied on old jokes. It relied on nods and winks and kind of Easter eggy bits for some of the comedy and a little bit, you know, it's like someone sat nudging you, but they were nudging you on the screen. It would have been nice if they had let you actually look at something and go, oh, is that so? Oh, is that an Easter?
Yeah.
You know, but it wasn't. It was almost like, here's an Easter egg.
Yeah.
Here's the guy from before. Here's Walter Peck or whatever, you know. And it was like, it was pushed in your face. And because, like, not for the best will in the world, these are characters from a film, what, 40 years ago now? They didn't fit.
No.
They didn't fit.
They could have fit.
They
one or two of them could have, like the Walter Peck character.
Yeah.
When he first popped up, I felt quite pleased to see him.
Yeah.
But then they didn't do anything very interesting with him. He hadn't changed. He just played the same character, but old. And I just thought it would have been much more fun if they developed him so that he behaved differently or referenced back how he behaved.
Yeah. You want to subvert something a little bit to
exactly.
like,
there was
you know,
no
but
subversion
it was like,
of
no,
that at
I'm
all.
The same.
But talking of the characters, there was a point where partway through the film, James turned to me and said, why is Phoebe dumb now?
Yeah.
She was just doing really dumb things.
Yeah,
wasn't
she kind of annoyed me in the film, if I'm honest, because I really like her in the first film.
Yeah. Mm.
And she's one of my favourite parts of it. And there's this idea that she's the intelligent granddaughter of Egon kind of thing. That's, and you know, she's matter of fact, but there's a bit of cheekiness about her. Whereas in this, they just made her like petulant and it was kind of annoying. So I wasn't a fan of that. I think there's that reliance they said about old jokes and old characters. I actually think the old Ghostbusters characters themselves worked quite well, to be honest. I think they were trying. This is the thing. There were bits of them when they were shoehorned in, as you say. When
they were like expanded cameos, really, weren't
they?
Were. Especially like Venkman. He was only in two scenes.
Exactly.
Maybe?
But the first scene he's in, it was kind of annoying. It felt a bit like the end credit scene in Afterlife.
Yeah.
So it could have been that. But when he does pop up, when he's in the film, I quite like that. He just like walks in, you know, knocks the panel, grabs a bottle of drink. It's quite kind of like, you're like, yeah, fair.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of the cheeky character side of it. I liked some of the new characters because James Acaster was in it, which I had no idea. I hadn't even seen that on the poster.
I don't know who that is.
He was the comedian guy. He was like the Q character in
well,
The Winston's Men. Yeah. I quite liked him. He was quite, you know,
he was
quite dry. He was quite funny. But again, because there's so many characters, massively underused. You can almost say there's like 20 characters in this that they're trying to make important. And because they had so many, none of them were in the end, which I found quite annoying. Where it got to the bits I liked, see, I sound like I'm moaning. There are bits I liked. What I actually liked in this, I don't agree. I actually quite liked the design of the baddie. I quite liked, even though he didn't say a lot and you didn't know his motivations or have someone channeling him like Vigor. I actually quite liked the design, and it's just like it was just a bad spirit type character. I liked the original parts that were standalone parts in this film. So I quite liked that Firemaster, Ice Master, the story character, the story that it was doing, but it was so lost in everything else.
Yeah,
that
was the problem.
If you could isolate those parts and make it about those parts, I think you would have had a solid hour and 15, hour and 20 minute film that would have actually been quite snappy. And you said when we came out, like an episode of Warehouse 13.
Yeah.
And I think I said before, it was almost a little bit like a real Ghostbusters story, but in film version, but then with all this waffle. And that's what lost me.
I didn't mind the kind of Warehouse 13-y element. It was okay, but it just felt too familiar and too done. And there was some humour there, like there was a Spin Doctors joke that I chuckled at, and a couple of other things in there that I chuckled at, but it just didn't feel like a Ghostbusters film. It was almost like I kept having to remind myself it was a Ghostbusters film, even though in other ways they just kept beating me over the head with the fact it was a ghost. It didn't feel like it.
This is the thing with Ghostbusters, not that I'm not going to teach you about Ghostbusters and make it sound like I'm about to. In Ghostbusters, it's all very practical. It is though, isn't it?
It's
practical.
Yeah.
It's in a firehouse. You know, it's all practical. It's matter of fact. It's Winston and two other guys hanging out in the containment room, you know, drinking
it's
a coffee. This guy's sat around. They're
tired. Yeah. It's gritty.
It's the boiler room. It's the boiler room having a fag out your mouth going, bloody hell, this is hard work. This is annoying. This is work stuff. With that, it was like the Bonds walking through a Bond scene with Q.
Yeah.
And what annoyed me about it is you then set up all these rules for things that are happening in there, which, A, they're just dumb. If anyone with... like, I'm not saying health and safety. Anyone with any sense would go, well, why are you doing that? You don't put that in there. Not the ghosts themselves. You don't put all that technology in with these things and that thing. Someone would just go, yeah, you should separate this stuff out. So it makes it feel like tacked on. And it just made them feel a bit stupid and a bit rubbish.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's not what it's like. Coupled to the fact this is where there's this whole being able to study ghosts. And I'm just sat there, like, even before it happened, I was like, well, there's no redundancy in that system, was it? And I literally, I can kind of like hear Egon in the background saying about like redundancy in the first, you know, this kind of stuff. And it's all kind of like ironic and matter of fact. It's like Egon walking out, just kind of going, boom, walk, step away.
Yeah.
But this was just, it's like pushed into you all the time. And I don't know if I said this just so there's that, but there's also the fact that in that section they set rules, and they were setting rules for certain things. Not just that, they were kind of saying about it with the Firemaster and the ice guy and stuff. So they set rules and then they broke them in the next scene. And I've said this in the podcast, it's something I absolutely hate. Don't set rules if you're just going to break them. This isn't crossing the streams kind of breaking rules. That's a shit, we have to do this because it's the last resort. A broken rule in this regard is, well, we're going to put something and then that's going to fix that in there. And then literally the next scene, don't know if this will be spoilers, when she sucks her own spirit out of her body that goes into this container thing, then she just walks out of it.
Yeah.
So I'm sat there going, well, the ghost, why didn't the ghost just do that?
Yeah.
And they tried to put it like it got sucked away. It's like, no, they were sat in there for a minute. So it didn't make sense. Also, it was stupid.
It was.
Talking about her saying she's being dumb, how could anyone think that would be a good idea?
No.
Because what she thinks going to happen? There was that part of it. And I think we kind of thought at that moment as well that there was something lost at that point, wasn't there?
Yeah.
It was either something in the story, something in the edit, something in the just how they were going to be do it to how we saw it developing.
Yeah, because someone else kind of says, I tried to stop it.
Yeah.
And we both went, no, you didn't.
No, you didn't. You came in afterwards and
that's right.
You didn't try and stop her doing anything
so
beforehand.
It felt like something else, a scene had been cut or something that
so
stopped
it did.
Making sense.
A lot of them, because I was sat there going, well, Where was James Acaster? Why wasn't he doing this stuff then? How did the parents suddenly turn up and know that she was going to be there doing that?
Yeah.
Why did they know to suddenly start driving back to the house? You know, there was no kind of, you know, when you get a scene where, I don't know, in a film, I can't think of an example, but it happens quite a few films where the hero character gets, like, suddenly sees the mind of the baddie and realizes what they're trying to do, and they set out a plan. And then they go, oh no, we have to get to so-and-so and so-and-so because they're going to do this and they're going to do that. And they're like, everyone's like, well, I'm not sure, but we'll just go along with it. It was like that scene was missed out, and the bit where she tells them about it, because they just all suddenly start doing something and know something's happening.
Mm.
It was weird because we kind of like looked, it was like, I don't...
Yeah, it didn't make sense.
Something didn't feel right. Which, leading on to that, made the ending feel rushed. Okay, so if something breaks apart and lets all these lots of things out, let's say, you can't then use that to trap something else because, you know, it's broken. That's not how things... Yeah. So it didn't make sense, but it felt like, let's use that again.
Yeah, I must admit, because it was getting towards the end, I just kind of thought, fine, do that.
Yeah,
that
and I couldn't.
Finish it off.
Even though Ghostbusters is fantastical, it doesn't make sense. It has a logic that is fine, works in its simplicity, whereas this had a logic that was fuzzy and dumb. And it sounds like I'm really beating up on it, because, like I said, there was quite a few bits I liked. And it was kind of scary. Like I said, with the baddie, it was kind of creepy and scary. Like, that opening scene is kind of... It's creepy. If you were a kid, like, you know, our age when we first watched Ghostbusters in the cinema, what was I? Yeah. Eight?
Yeah.
I'd have been like, whoa, there's a jump scare. There's, like, people falling apart who are frozen. So
yeah.
I don't think it's a spoiler
to
say that.
Because
it happens, you know. And then when the ice guy visits the first fire master, let's say, I thought that was quite funny because, you know. But I was like, oh, I was also, that's brutal.
Yeah.
You know what's happening. Like, as a kid, you wouldn't have put two and two together, maybe. But like, as an adult, you're like, oh, yeah, that's pretty messed up.
Ben, is there anything you want to add at this point? Anything positive?
I
want to
say, what can I say that's positive? I liked the fire master character, but I think that's probably the skill of the actor. I don't know that actor or what else he's been in, but.
He was in the Eternals.
Okay.
Yeah.
I thought his timing and his mannerisms were good and suited the role. So it's, I guess, well, it's the kind of Lewis Tully reprise, you know, it's that character back
kinda,
again, effectively. Mm. But I think it's done well. And that's about the only character I liked, really.
Ray?
Yeah.
Ray's Ray, though.
I guess so. I just don't think that this is going to sound harsh. I don't want to see the Ghostbusters again.
That's what
old.
I said, yeah.
Yeah, I don't need to see it. I mean, in Afterlife, again, it's like they pop up a little bit and do a specific thing. Mm. In this, they just kind of dotted through it for no obvious reason. Yeah. Just
little podcast in Afterlife was your favourite, but he was quite underused,
he just kind of faded into the background, like a lot of them did.
But he had some little funny moments, but it was sort of lost. And weirdly, he looked a lot older.
But so did Phoebe, really.
Yeah,
you,
she did.
You could tell that they had to really try and make her look still sort of geeky.
It felt like this could have been like also the ideal film to pass it on to the new ones, which they seemed like they were trying to do, and they were trying to do at the end of the last film and the start of this one. You were like, it started with the, let's say, the new Ghostbusters, as we say.
Yeah.
And you're like, oh, okay, it's just them. It's going to be a lot of them. And then introduce the old characters, and you thought, okay, they're having their thing. And then I thought by the end, it was almost going to be like a, right, this is our last. I thought it was going to be like their last hoorah. It's like, we're now passing the torch to the new guys. But they didn't.
Now there's a risk they're just going to come back again.
They didn't, did they? Yeah. I thought it was going to be like at the end, they're the ones that were clapping and stuff like that. And as they drove off, they'd all be sort of stood there, kind of like, so long. It didn't. And it felt like, oh, so we're probably going to get that film at some point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which will be a little bit sad, because they could have done this well if they'd have thought about that.
I did like the bit at the library.
Enjoyed. Who was that?
Patton Oswalt.
Yeah.
What would you call him? Like a professor of ancient languages and things, wasn't he? And he was, I mean,
anthropologist sort of thing.
Yeah, he didn't really have a lot to do. And I quite liked that sort of animation bit.
Yeah.
Telling the story of the ice guy.
I like that. I know we've seen that a lot in like Harry Potter and what was the other film there was?
But there's also a couple of familiar ghosts, including, can I say the library ghost?
Yeah, because it's in the trailer.
So, yeah, the library ghost pops up again. And to start with, I thought, this could be fun. They could actually do something with Ray and the library ghost that, again, subverts it a little bit. Perhaps she'll talk to it. You know, something. But it didn't. It was just a rerun. They just reran what happened in the first film.
And that's what I found with a lot of this stuff. Like, it was the nods and winks were like, it was like a reminder. One of the other things I was going to say, this film was heavy early on exposition, but also reminders. Mm. And it was like, hey, do you remember when we done so and so and so and so? Yeah, it was in the last film. You don't need to quite keep doing that. And then with the older ghosts, oh, it's not like the time when we saved... Hey, do you remember that time when we saved New York from the thing? It's like, yeah, that's why we're here. Like, you're not introducing this to anyone new now. Yeah? So, yeah. And that's why, like with Ben, I quite liked it in Afterlife because they didn't do that.
No.
There were things, there was lots of... You know, they had that. And there was like, oh, there's the PK meter. But it wasn't like... Hey, what's that? Apart from when it was designed to be, when Paul was like, oh my God, ooh, remember this Ghostbuster stuff?
What a cool replica.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's like done well and ironically. It's not like, hey, do you remember when this?
I did like the Stay Puft guys. They're super cute.
They do work well.
Yeah, they do.
I think it's just I think it's because they're kind of psychotic, but really smiley about it, and it doesn't matter. And like, and if they melt one of the other one's face, it's not like you're kind of going, oh, that's a bit nice. You're just like, oh, well, because the other one will help them. Well, they'll do it to themselves as well. And I like that.
Yeah, but they are kind of adorable generally, yeah.
And Ghost Girl. I'm not going to say too much about Ghost Girl, but that guess, all I can say is I knew that was...
I was going to say, when Ghost Girl said something about how she came to be a ghost, I predicted pretty much the last 10 minutes of the film.
Yeah, and also...
And I think we all did. I think even Ben probably did.
Yeah, and... Yeah. What annoys me about it is, like, overused. But not even, like, it wasn't even a mystery at the start about her popping up. It was like,
here I am.
You know, it was, you know, it's like, ah, to the point of they're just, like, chatting along. And then you see her walking down the street. Like, there's no one going, oh, my God, there's a ghost. It's just like, I'm wandering home now. I want to go, where are you going? You're not walking home, are you? Yeah. You're a ghost. You just hang around.
Yeah. But I quite liked the idea of a supernatural pal. Yes. But... it just wasn't handled right.
Yeah. No, it just went a bit angsty and...
I think there's a lot of... I think you're right. There's a lot of that in this film. There's a lot of things that I liked the idea of, but they didn't do it as well as they could have. So, yeah. Got anything else, Ben?
No, that's it. I think that's it for me.
But you will watch Afterlife again, won't you?
Yeah, I might have to give it a year, though.
Yeah, we can pretend this didn't happen, if you like.
Yeah, I think so. I hope they don't make any more, but they probably will.
I suspect it depends how... well, it does. We don't know the general reception of it yet, do we? So we'll have to wait and tune in next week and see what the rest of the world has been saying.
Yeah.
And
there
were quite a few people in the cinema. It's a Monday night, which is generally quite a quiet night.
There was people quite excited to get there as well. And like I said, I don't think it was terrible. It wasn't great. I didn't feel like I was being cheated cynically or like I didn't feel like I was getting done in by a cash grab. I just think I felt like I was being treated a little bit badly by one of my favourite franchises.
Yeah.
And even then, it's just like, is it a bit too tired now with the old characters and that kind of format? I hate to say it.
Does it need to be like, they say this about Terminator, don't they? Terminator 1 and 2. Great films. Mm. It doesn't need to be a franchise. You don't need to keep making Terminator films. People like to imagine around it. They don't need to see everything spelt out.
Yeah.
And maybe it's the same with Ghostbusters. Maybe it doesn't need to keep making films. Maybe we can just think around it for ourselves.
I would totally agree if I didn't think there must be 1,000 ideas out there for great Ghostbusters stories.
Do you think so?
Yeah, I do. Because for the best will in the world, like the old Ghost... Do you remember the real Ghostbusters?
I love it, yeah.
There was a lot of crap in that.
Yeah,
like,
there was.
Like, it genuinely actually wasn't that great.
No. Right? But it was just often a Monster of the Week kind of thing, wasn't it?
Pretty much all the time. But it also had some interesting ideas.
Yeah.
Like, and it had some things that you could potentially, instead of just rehash, because in this they seem to rehash stuff rather than expand on. Mm. And I'd take even expanding on, but it isn't. It's like, hey, you remember this from it was like, it's more greatest hits than Afterlife. It's like, remember this from last time? Remember this from last time? And they had a little bit like with Slimer, because he's in the trailer. All you got from that was sliming in twice. But the bit when he was used was actually, that was quite good. But it was so lost in everything else. There's a whole thing in the, I remember in the real Ghostbusters, which is like the origin of Slimer.
Yeah.
And how in the real Ghostbusters, he ended up living.
Like being their pal.
Being with their pal. Yeah. And you know, the only reason that was put into the real Ghostbusters, because, oh God, I can't remember who was doing it. It's a famous guy who actually directed it, was because after about 10, I think it's like something like 10 episodes, people kept coming up to him and going, how did Slimer become part of the team? And he was just like, there was no thought to it, it just happened. So he was like, I'm going to have to write an episode. So he just wrote an episode of Real Ghostbusters. Brilliant. To do that, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I like
there's
it.
Also an episode of Real Ghostbusters where they visit the set of the making of the Ghostbusters
yeah,
film.
Yeah, that's right, yeah.
So that's brilliant. One of the reasons why the real Ghostbusters don't look like the original yeah. Ghostbusters. Ernie Hudson, you know, he auditioned for the voice of Winston in the real Ghostbusters and didn't get it.
Brilliant.
And it's like, what? You know? So there's loads that's of bonkers so with it. But yeah. The fact is, I instantly go, that's quite an interesting story. Like, the story of the Ghostbusters and the making of the film. Yeah, it's probably been done in other stuff, but at least it's kind of original. It's, actually, do you know what? In that film, you can do, hey, remember that. Imagine if they were doing the making of, like, if you had the Ghostbusters who were actually real-life Ghostbusters who went to see the set of the film that were the making of... I'm yeah. rambling now,
so
I know.
So going a bit meta.
But yeah, because yeah. that's, and I feel like that's the kind of, the film that we deserve now is something that pops. It's not the legacy sequel of, hey, do you remember all this stuff? It's the one, hey, do you remember why you liked this so much? It's the one that kicks you in the gut a bit. It's the first series of Westworld. Do you know what you mean? Where you're like, hey, this is good because it reminds me of Westworld, but the story's actually really cool and it works. And there's stuff like the one that the bit that gives you the chills, the bit that makes you shudder a bit and go, and it brings a tear to your eye because you're going, God, I remember why I like this so much. Mm. And that's what I'm looking for.
We didn't get anything
and
like
that. And we didn't get that.
We so just got a pastiche, so, really.
I feel like you about it. And I know we argue about Multiverse of Madness, but as you know, I really disliked that film. And I spent pretty much all of it thinking, just end. I have to get out of the yeah. seat and go. I didn't feel that about this. I didn't dislike it or will yeah. it to end. I just willed it to be a little bit better.
Yeah, that's a bad example. I've just literally gone on about films that I want to see and you're comparing it to a film that I like a lot yeah. because it's different and it tries to yeah. do something different. But yeah, I get what you I get your sentiment.
Yeah.
Ben?
Right, ratings.
So have you we've been talking a lot. Go on, what's yeah. your rating, Ben?
Is it a hearse?
It's Ecto-Non out of Cars Out of Films.
Yeah, really?
It'll be what if you got a Vauxhall Vectra for £300 from the auction and then spent another £300 on paint and papier-mâché to make it look like Ecto-1.
Yeah.
It's made of paper.
Yeah.
Ben
yeah.
doesn't like it, does he?
He doesn't like
this
it.
This film is rubbish.
Oh, no. I feel sad.
Yeah. I'm going to watch it again.
I think I will probably watch it again.
Multiple times.
Yeah, I think I will. I might even warm to it if I'm yeah. just sat in front of the telly with some chocolate yeah. and a cup of coffee.
But I know I'm going to get annoyed. If I watched Afterlife and then I watched this, then I'm yeah. literally going to be going, yeah, I've just seen that. And it was only two yeah. years ago originally.
Mm. Yeah.
So I don't need to watch it straight. Anyway, don't start me off again.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't have a rating. So
I don't have a rating either.
So if people want to get in touch and let us know what they thought about it, how would they do that?
On socials at Just So Jables.
That'll do, Ben.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
So, couple of trailers that we saw. Arkid, first one.
I can't remember the first one.
Ben, what was the first one?
I can't remember.
Smoke Face, Godzilla X Kong.
Oh,
oh yeah.
yeah. That looks like garbage.
It really look great. Does.
I kind of like the mini Kong. It's
yeah.
kind of cute.
Oh, but that's so cynical, though.
I know.
They just put that.
Oh, very not mini Kong. Isn't it? Yeah.
It's kind of annoying.
And like having seen Godzilla Minus One.
Have we been burnt by that a little bit?
I think we must have been yeah. because that Godzilla just looks like a silly toy now.
I spoke to someone who's from America. Hi, Chad.
Hi, Chad.
And
hi, Chad.
I spoke to him over Christmas and I kept going on about how good that film was. And I got a message on Facebook, I think it was. He sent it about a month ago. I just checked my messages. I saw it today. Brilliant. And it was like, thanks for the recommendation. Watch Godzilla Minus One. And it was like, it was brilliant. And yeah. And as soon as he sent it, I was like, oh man, I want to watch that film now. Mm. Whenever I talk about it or think about it, I just go, I want to watch it now.
I must admit, when we were in the cinema and Godzilla popped up, I thought, I must watch Godzilla Minus yeah, One again soon.
I know.
So.
Yeah. I remember what the second one is.
You do?
Yeah, Deadpool versus Wolverine.
Well,
or Deadpool
Benjamin.
And Wolverine. Or
Deadpool and Wolverine, yeah.
Deadpool colon Wolverine.
I bet you haven't seen that trailer before.
No.
No,
have I
you?
Have.
Yeah. You have. I thought you were. What did you think, Ben? Having just...
I think it looks quite funny.
Yeah.
Yeah, fine. Because you know I don't like the superhero stuff.
No, I know. Have you and seen the Deadpool films?
I've seen the first one. I've seen the second one.
Second one's all right as well, actually.
Yeah. I think that Ryan Reynolds is just very, very good, isn't he? He knows exactly what he's doing with Deadpool. That humour. He just has that humour absolutely down pat.
He's very good at timing on that stuff.
Very good.
Really good. Yeah.
It looks like with the time blur out of
TVA.
Lukey.
The time blur out of Lukey.
The time blur out of Lukey. I sound like Ben.
Yeah.
I never even watched the second series of Loki and I wasn't enamoured with the first. So I don't know if there's going to be things that I'm missing. I hope not.
No.
I hope they've got their heads around the fact that people don't really watch the series, so they need to be standalone.
I think they'll explain it. You know, they've got that character. But what I like is the idea of, I think they're going to, I don't know this, I don't know anything about it, but I get this sense that, you know, he talks about shaking up the universe, like the movie universe. Yeah. Like, does he say movie universe in the trailer?
Cinematic universe. Yeah, he does.
And obviously Deadpool is very meta anyway. Deadpool's like one of the few characters in Marvel, Ben, who break the fourth wall, who will talk to who know actually what's happening. And it feels like, I'm kind of hope that the TVA are hiring him because he can break the fourth wall and knows about the other universes as well as the fictional universes as well. And I think, I'm hoping that's how they're going to be introducing like some of the other Wolverine characters. And it'd be quite, if it's done well, very noddy and winky, it could almost be like the reset that the multiverse sort of needs.
I think that's what they're going to try and
do. I hope so.
It's funny though, because with Wolverine being in it, it seems odd after Logan was such a good send-off for that character.
Yeah.
So it feels like, do we need Wolverine again?
No, but I think...
But we'll see.
But this is a Wolverine from before that, so...
Oh, I know it is, it's like we've let that Wolverine go now. Do we need to be reminded again?
But I've got a feeling it'll be done quite well. I don't know, I could be wrong.
Yeah. Because I think you don't see much Wolverine in the trailer, do you?
No, and I think they will probably be using it as an introduction to potentially new Wolverine and X-Men characters. Mm. I don't know that, but that's what I feel like. And it looks quite funny, it looks quite silly. Yeah,
I'll give it a watch. I'm not immediately groaning about that one. Mm-hmm. It looks okay.
Anything else to add, peeps?
Next week.
Oh, yeah, next week.
Retro Reels next week. Aliens.
Oh, it is. Yeah. We've got some other films coming up. There are some other films coming out, aren't there?
I'm sure there are some more films coming out.
Thanks, Ben.
Smooth as silk there.
Take us to Aliens, Ben.
Watch Aliens.
I was hoping something a bit better than that.
Okay.
There's a plethora of references you
can use. Okay, game over, man.
That'll do.
They mostly come at night. Mostly.
Just so Jables.